Hello and welcome to the third episode of Scram Web and Eve Online Podcast. My name is Totara, I'm the host of this podcast, and I'm glad for you all to come and join me. This is the third episode I've made now. I'm very excited because I didn't think I was going to make it all for three episodes, so that's pretty good. Let's get started. First, I wanted to talk about some of the upcoming Agony Unleashed PvP courses. There are two available for signing up. The first is PvP Wolf Packs, which may be filled by the time you listen to this. It starts on April the 20th and the 21st, and sign up started a couple days ago. So basically, it's this coming weekend. It's at 2200 hours Eve time. Wolf Packs is an intermediate level course involving destroyers, and it covers some intermediate level material about PvP in fleets in EVE Online. It's definitely builds upon the other course, which is being offered on the 27th and 28th, which is the PvP Basics course. PvP Basics course introduces people, characters, into PvP in EVE. It covers simple concepts such as spiraling, fitting, what ships, what strategies, E-War, and it's quite a lot of it's a good fun course. There are almost no requirements for PvP Basic, however, Wolf Packs will require having done PvP Basic in the past. The best thing about these courses is not the actual class itself, in my opinion, it's the roam that occurs afterwards. So there's the course, which is the first day and the second day at the same time. There is the actual roam, where an Agony FC and multiple Agony support run around Syndicate or other places and generally makes for good fun. Ships get blown up. It's good fun. So I hope some people listening are interested in taking these courses and jump on them. They do fill up very fast, especially the basic class can often fill up within hours of it being open for signing up. So do watch the threads and watch the Agony Unleashed website for finding out more about these courses. Next thing we're going to talk about is on my blog. There is a post on Friday called Professional EVE Players, The EVE is Easy Project. In this article, I discuss the recent events of, well, at the time, there were recent events of Garmin and Will Adamo starting the EVE is Easy website, which I have talked about EVE is Easy before. Basically, Garmin and Will Adamo have some excellent videos posted to YouTube. There were 9 of them as of last week, which were just fantastic. They showed strategies, detailed explanations, very high production values of some of the best PvPers in the game. Awesome fan of it, and I heard he was doing this new EVE is Easy website where they are going to provide these videos for people who subscribe to their website. Couple points I wanted to cover about here. Firstly, it's a bit interesting that they are charging money now for the website. This is what I call the beginning of the professional EVE player. If you go to a lot of games, there are people who are professional players. Professional chess players, professional computer game players, professional tennis players. You name it, people play games and then they get paid to do it. EVE, to my knowledge, doesn't really have this as of last week. There are rumors about, you know, Russian FCs being paid, and certainly there are people running bot farms. But in general, there are no professional EVE players until last week. It seemed like Adama and Garmin were launching a website that was going to be subscription-based, where people pay for instruction in how to PvP in EVE, and it sounded like this is going to be more or less their full-time job. So they launched the site on the weekend, and a little bit of controversy was stirred. The main issue being that they were going to charge $15 a month, and it was $200 for a lifetime membership. This was a lot more than people were, shall we say, a lot more than most people were expecting. I kind of suspected it was going to be a large amount of money, but that was, even then, hearing it was a bit of a shock. It seems like they have since backtracked a bit on their position. Although they're keeping the premium website, they're going to come up with a less expensive $5 a month version that just gets access to the videos. The $15 a month version gets access to forums and one-on-one instruction and a whole bunch more stuff, sort of a tiered offering, which I think makes a lot of sense for them to offer in the first place. If they had just done that at the beginning, there'd be a lot less controversy. Still, $5 a month seems like a lot for some videos that they used to offer for free. There certainly are other people who are sending out videos. The Bringing a Soul of Bad Guys, Kill 2, and Corvrix, as well as Prometheus videos. And in general, if you go to E-Files website, you'll see hundreds and hundreds of awesome E-videos that no one's actually getting paid for. However, where there's a I mean, certainly the quality of the Willodama Garmin videos is excellent. They know what they're doing, and it looks like they're doing more than just, you know, getting into fast shape with a bunch of boosts and implants and handpicking a handful of footage of them taking on whole fleets. They're trying things like taking T1 cruisers without boosts and implants and anything like that, and again, showing the success and breaking down how they're doing it, which is probably the most important part, is breaking down how they're succeeding in these ships and what their strategies are. Doesn't mean anyone who subscribes to the website becomes an elite PvPer right away, but I'm sure that the content is quite valuable. I'm just not sure it's worth $15 a month. And well, we'll see how it goes. They may be very successful, they may be not be. As part of their new sort of relaunch with multiple tier, they're going to offer to pay people, other people, to produce videos. They'll also be incorporated on it, and hopefully their hope is they're going to have this aggregation of a whole bunch of high quality PvP instruction videos, again for a fee, which is a bit controversial. Next, we can talk about my next blog. It's entitled "It's the Mistakes That Get You." In this, I talk about two fights which I was in which I lost my ship. In the first fight was a Jaguar. I was in Providence. I was basically bumping around in Providence there's a system called 9UI, which is sort of the central hub, and then there's several chutes out from it that get you to various high-sec escapes. In this case, I was in the YWSO, the 9FOB, 4BNQN area, and I hit a gate camp. And there were several gate camps. I was flying around in my Jaguar, which is a heavily tanked Jaguar with not much DPS, which I used to like a lot, and recently I've become a little less enamored with the ship. Anyways, the point about the ship is it's got a nice tough DPS. It can escape gate camps relatively easily, but I still managed to lose it. How did I lose it? Well, there were several gate camps I had successfully dodged until I came across a very well-organized gate camp with about probably 15 ships or so that were camping the, let me just check here, the 9FOB 4BNQ gate. When I emerged from Cloak, when I emerged from the gate, I noticed I was in the Hick bubble, and there were several ships camping me in that were far more than obviously my Jaguar could handle, and I needed to escape. Whenever you go through encounter a gate camp, you really have two choices. One is burn and run away. The other is burn back to the gate and escape. I guess the third choice is to fight, but this was clearly not possible considering I was outnumbered 10 to 1 by ships that could handle them easily. Anyways, how did I die? Well, I died because I made a mistake. This is the important part. I could have escaped, but I didn't. My mistake was is I did not notice that one of the ships I was dealing with was an Ashimu. Ashimu is a Blood Rider cruiser that has a bonus to webifiers. It doesn't have a range bonus, it has an effectiveness bonus, but usually because of the effectiveness bonus, they fit faction webs. So it's pretty good bet that anytime you see an Ashimu, it's got 14-kilometer or 15-kilometer webs, and they're going to stop you cold. I didn't fully notice the ship, so my concern was more the frigates that were on field, and I kind of aligned my escape plan towards a planet that took me within closer to the Ashimu than I would have wanted to. If I realized there was an Ashimu, I would have probably burned exactly in the opposite direction of it, hoping to escape it. But instead, I got a bit too close to it, and all of a sudden I noticed I was going 300 meters per second with my micro-warp drive on, which means I wasn't going anywhere fast, and I was going to die pretty quick. Soon enough, I was scrambled by other stuff, and I was taken down rather handily. That was my first Jaguar lost in Providence. The second I'm going to talk about is a Jaguar I lost in Syndicate. As I said, I used to fly this heavily shield tank Jaguar. This was an experimental fit where I was using an active armor tank. I'm still not sure if it's the right fit for a Jaguar. I can probably, if I have more success with it, I'll talk about it later. I have had a few kills with it, but this time I lost it. This was a bit different. It was on the FD-MLJ-X-M2LR gate. This is an area in Northern Syndicate where there's more or less a static gate camp between FDMLJ and the lead off to the Orville gate. So as you go from FDMLJ, there's a system, I think it's called PF Dash, and then Orville. This is very commonly heavily camped with 10-15 ships. However, The gate from FDMLJ to PF dash is about 30,000 kilometers from the gate to X dash M, which is where my destination was. So I landed on X dash M gate in FDMLJ, and it was clear, and I went through. Before I had gone through, I'd hit the directional scan, and I noticed there was this sizable gate cap that I assumed was on the PF dash gate. And I thought I'd sit there for a minute or two. Sometimes people send a single ship on to just check. Somebody went through XM, maybe we'll send a frigate through or something. This was my theory. And so I held cloak and just waited and waited and waited. And I waited a long time. At least it seemed like a long time because my cloak would expire after 60 seconds. But even before my cloak had expired, you know, there was a gate flash and a stealth bomber uncloaked. I gave a brief chase, but obviously it cloaked up and I couldn't catch it. Sometimes I make a mistake, but not usually. Then I proceeded to wait around just a little bit more. I was a bit unsure what to do. Should I go back? Should I do whatever? And then a saber came through and launched a bubble on me. Again, I didn't panic at this point. I decided to wait a bit more and try to figure out what to do, and that's when I managed to misclick on my overview and sorted my icons set by range. So the gate was near the top. It was by, I think, by alphabetical order, so who the heck knows which was the gate, which was the saber, and stuff like that. And as I'm fumbling around trying to figure out, okay, I want to get out of here now, or I want to burn back to the gate, and which gate should I click on and stuff, this took a long time, and the saber motored over to me, started shooting me, pointed me, scrammed me, webbed me. And I was in deep trouble. By the time I finally figured out which way I wanted to head, I was scrammed, webbed, and I was going to go down as the rest of their gang jumped on through into me and blew me to bits. So the moral of the story is, mistakes kill you. This, in the first case, it was a mistake, a ship identification mistake. I was not aware of the tactical situation. I misidentified the ship. In the second case, it was an actual using the user interface mistake. I misclicked and killed myself. So mistakes are what kill you. In general, a fast ship like an interceptor or a frigate or an assault frigate or a destroyer or even many cruisers can successfully escape gate camps. Bigger the slower the ship, obviously the window of gate camps that can escape is less, but in general gate camps can be avoided if you know what you're doing. However, if you do know what you're doing, it's when you make a mistake that kills you. So you really have to concentrate when you go through a gate camp on doing things correctly and not make foolish mistakes. This, of course, is also valid for people who are running gate camps. You can pretty much assume that some of the targets coming through are going to see your gate camp and are going to panic and do something wrong and do something silly and get themselves killed. You can't count on it, but I'm sure for every 10 ships that go through a gate camp, one of them does something silly and dies as a result. Next, we're going to cover solo roaming in cruisers on a budget. This was inspired by a fantastic post on FailHeap Challenge by Prometheus Exenthal called How to Play Solo Roaming in Cruisers. He gives very good detailed fitting and tactical recommendations for various brawling T2 cruisers and faction cruisers. For example, the Hugin, the Deimos, the Vexor Navy issue. Several he covers, let me just check the website. He covers, Deimos, Vigilant, Navy Vexor, Sacrilege, Phantasm, Hugin, and Ishtar are the ships he covers. He describes the advantages and disadvantages of these ships, but these are all ships he considers exceptional for being flying around in a cruiser and doing solo work. He has several criteria for what makes a good ship. He says tank of more than 35,000 EHP, not reliant on cap boosters, aligns faster than 7 seconds, and is faster than 1,200 meters per second before heat, and capable of dealing over 550 DPS. He also looks at some other factors such as sensor strength and whether it's an active tank. But those are the main criteria, the ones I just outlined. Now, the next article. Problem is these are expensive ships. I don't think any of these fits comes in less than 200 million ISK. Certainly things like the Hugin or the Deimos, the Vigilant is very expensive. You're going to be spending a lot of money on solo cruisers. And if you don't know what you're doing, you're going to lose a lot of money. Personally, I don't really solo in ships that expensive because you come across a big organized gate camp, you're going to die, there's nothing you can do about it. And I don't have the financial resources in-game to handle the situation. So let's take a look at what else you could do? Well, my question is, can a T1 cruiser match the T2 cruiser? Can you get, how close can you get to that T2 cruiser ideal? So he has those requirements: 35,000 EHP, cap, no cap boosters required, aligns faster than 7 seconds, 1,200 meters per second, and 550 DPS. So I decided, well, let's just throw together a rupture fit, EFT, or PIFA, is now seems to be the new EFT. So I put together a rupture with 2,200 millimeter autocannons, a couple of energy neutralizers, microwarp, scram, web, 1,600 mil plate, EANM, a couple of gyros, and 3 medium framework armor pumps. Nothing special, nothing overly expensive. This, and even without any implants, which I didn't include in this, the total comes to 34 million ISK. So you could probably buy 7 of these for the cost of one of the ships that Prometheus discusses. How close is the ship to one of those T2 cruisers? Well, let's look at the criteria. First off, the tank. My Rupture has a tank of 33,800 EHP. That's just literally 1,000 shy of what his requirements are. So I'm calling that a pass. It's slightly less, but it's a pass. The cap boosters, well, my ship, my Rupture does not require cap boosters. It is not very cap stable with those neutralizers running, but even without those neutralizers, it can last a fairly long time. With certainly, I think 2 minutes was the life expectancy with a microwarp drive running without the energy neutralizers. In general, you won't have that microwarp drive perma running anyway, so it's all good. The align time, well, it's a bit slow. This is an armor tank T1 cruiser. It's going to, it has an align time of 9.8 seconds, which is a bit slow, but c'est la vie. And its speed is 1,236 meters per second without heat, which would make it about 1,900 with heat. That is fast enough. Its DPS is, again, a little low, a little short of what he was wanting, 459 DPS with all 5 skills, but you know, it's certainly not weak DPS, and considering that the ship costs 1/7 as much to lose as one of those T2 cruisers or faction cruisers, I think you'd be better off, if you want to learn to solo PvP in cruisers, you're far better off using a fit like this Rupture for 5 or 6 times, go through 5 or 6 of them first, and then go to the T2 cruisers. Don't start off with the T2 cruisers and go bankrupt and then end up on T1 cruisers. That was an example of Rupture. There are other possibilities. The Vexor, someone asked about. A Vexor can be fit similarly with similar tank and similar effective hit points. A MOA, if you're Kaldari, can be fit with blasters and get 480 DPS, 33,000 tank. It's fast enough and it's a very good align time. Fantastic, fantastic ship. So, as I said, T1 cruisers almost meet that criteria, and certainly practice a few times in T1 cruisers before you spend the major ISK on T2 cruisers and faction cruisers. In general, most fights you're not going to be surviving to, you know, 10% of hull left. Sometimes you will, in which case the difference would have been there, but usually it's all the other factors in the fight that make more of a difference. And if you can't win a fight in a T1 cruiser, you're still not going to be winning very many fights in a T2 cruiser. That's just the reality. Having said that, I do really want to emphasize how good his article is. I like the fact that he's a brawler. I see a lot of videos and stuff of people in kiting cruisers, and they're blowing up tackle. Prometheus, this is a gang cruiser. It goes in and it tackles something, and it, you know, gets in its face and starts shooting at it. It's not just about blowing up interceptors trying to tackle you. It's about blowing up the, you know, something of real value, something that they were not expecting to lose to you. And I think it's a great article and definitely worth reading. So that's the podcast for this week. I hope you enjoy it. This is the third podcast, and Totara signing out. I will see you next week. Keep on enjoying. I'd love to hear about any stories of people doing solo PvP, or anyone who's been inspired by the blog. Please do post on the Evo forums thread, which I started for this blog. It's looking forward to hearing from some of you. Bye.